Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wow, that's baseball. I don't know what that was at the end of the game, Mr. David, but the Cubs, they're losing. Their winning streak comes to an abrupt.
Good morning, Mully.
And Mr. David.
I'm not in a great mood on this Thursday morning.
Say a Suzuki. Are the rules about being out of third?
I didn't like the first inning, and I hated the ninth inning. I watched the first, and I caught up with the ninth. Both cases, bad decisions, bad outcomes, a bad night for the Cubs. A game that was there to take. Theirs for the taking. And they leave L.A. winning a series but losing more ground because you rip another page off the calendar. September's nearly halfway over. Goodness sakes, what was that in the ninth inning? How do you try to steal third, say a Suzuki, when you don't have the green light and you don't have a signal to go?
It was his decision to steal, and then Bellinger went with him, right? It was him making that decision on his own. That was not, as you say, that was not the green light. That wasn't something anyone called for. It's something that Saya saw. He had this vision of himself being thrown out at third.
He had his vision of himself being PCA. He's suddenly as fast as Pete Crow Armstrong and can do whatever he wants on the bases. I've got to tell you, I am tired of having a September evening ruined by Saya Suzuki 2 years in a row. I don't want to pick on one guy. But it seems like...
But he's the guy you're going to pick.
He's very disappointing to me.
He's not... what's the word? His baseball IQ comes into question
sometimes. It seems like it.
Yeah.
Does it that
no,
to you?
No, it's fair.
I love his plate selection. He's very patient, and he grinds out at bats, and he's effective in certain times offensively. I'm sure you could crunch the numbers and say he's a net positive. But the yips with the fly balls... And stealing third when you don't have the green light. And Craig Counsell came as close as Craig Counsell will come to criticizing a player publicly when he said post-game, and we don't have the audio yet, maybe we can find it at some point. If it was late, obviously. But he called the decision, or he called getting caught in that situation, inexcusable. That's quite
not a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah, I think inexcusable means there's no explanation that you could offer. There's no excuse, if you will, that you could say, this is why I did that. You can use an interpreter. You can talk to him directly. Look him in the eye. Uh-uh. Not going to cut it, Saya. Stop doing these things that get your team in trouble.
Yeah, it is.
So, I was so close to being happy this morning. Like,
right. You would have been very pleased had they come back and maintained the they did maintain the run explosion that went on in L.A.
They scored eight.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Unfortunately, they gave up a lot. And your other guy, Ohtani.
Oh, my.
He hit his 47th home run of the year and stole his 48th base.
Yes.
This guy is staring down 50-50, and it's pretty extraordinary.
You have 48 stolen bases. You've got the green light.
Yes.
Now, you give him the green light. You can steal whenever you want.
Is that what this was? Is this one Japanese player deciding to outshine the other?
You wonder about, you can do that? I can do that. We're rivals. I don't know. I don't think so. But Ohtani was just on display. And as you heard Pat Hughes coming in, he's one of one.
Yeah.
He is so unique. Yeah. And he is the most valuable player as a designated hitter.
Wait till he's the guy relieving Kopech.
In the World Series. I love that scenario. You called it. That's going to be Game 7 against the Yankees. Here comes Ohtani to face Judge and strike him out and celebrate.
Yeah.
That would be great drama.
Maybe Soto and Judge.
Well, you're not striking out both.
You're getting out.
Maybe. That first inning, though, let's go back to that. Jordan Wicks had a meltdown, if you will.
Well, you had a lead, first of all, right? So you went out and you scored a couple of runs.
Yeah.
So you take the mound and, I mean, you're feeling like, okay, this is working out. 2-0 before I throw a pitch. And then you throw a pitch to Ohtani. And that was like one of those like line drive. That thing was in the seats by the time he finished swinging. You know,
for
what I mean?
Those who appreciate such things, and I know Dustin is right there at the top of the list. Exit velocity. The exit velocity was 118.1 mph, as Pat Hughes likes to say. 118.1 mph, Mully, and it was the third fastest homer of the season for Ohtani, who has 47 of them.
Yeah.
So this was one that stood out.
It was he was starting to swing and the ball was in the seats. So it was so fast.
It was so fast. And so it made it 2-1. And then Jordan Wicks, okay, after the second one, I think maybe it had to have gotten Craig Counsell's attention. After the third one, I've got to think you're compelled to get out of your seat, go to the mound, and make a change. These are desperate times. They call for desperate measures. Is it wrong that I was sitting there watching this unfold as the Dodgers took batting practice to think that maybe they could have gone to the bullpen?
Well, they got to protect that. Oh, wait a minute. They're off tomorrow.
They're off today.
That's what
they don't have a game.
They're off the next day.
So you're in there in the dugout.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, you're basically saying it's Justin Steele's fault, if I hear what you're saying.
Because he got hurt.
Well.
And he forced Jordan Wicks to the mound.
Apparently.
I'm not saying that, and I don't like to put it all at the feet of Jordan Wicks either. But he clearly didn't have it. And the Dodgers clearly weren't as bored as I hoped they would be. Remember when I said yesterday they'd be bored? They weren't. They were locked in. They were like, this guy's throwing batting practice. Give me my bat. Where's my bat?
Yeah. It was probably the worst start of his career, frankly. I don't remember him being that bad. Do you?
No, I don't. This is one of those things where you had high hopes going in, but you feared that it was going to be an education for the young lefty, and it was an education for the young lefty.
And you just wondered, like, he seemed to start imploding, and there wasn't any rush to get out there to calm him down.
Where I wonder what was happening. So I don't want to call that inexcusable, as Craig Counsell termed the double steal attempt by Seiya Suzuki in the ninth, but it was baffling why they let Wicks throw as many pitches without trying to replace him or settle him down. Boy, today I wish we could talk to Tommy Haddavy.
It'd be great to know. I just wondered, does he have to check with Craig Counsell or can he just run out there?
I wish somebody would have run out there.
I just say
as they were running around the bases.
Right.
That was a long inning.
That was rough stuff.
The Cubs score a couple, and you start to feel like, oh, sweep. Who are the Mets? What's the score? How about the Braves? And then you're like, 5-2. going to bed.
And there was news on Steele. Apparently, he did throw a bullpen yesterday, and Craig Counsell says that he's kind of symptom-free, but it's just building himself back up.
And he said it's day-to-day. You know what that means.
That means that he's not going to play down in Houston.
I think it means that.
That was a Bears joke.
Okay. I think it means that.
They got a receiver.
They dropped to 5 back now. And if they're out of it, why bring him back? If they had won, it might have been a different story. And I just think that it's becoming more and more remote. And last game was one that you had to get, one that you had to seize.
Well, and it got worse, right? Because before you started that game, the Nationals beat the Braves again.
Yes.
And the Mets were getting no hit into the seventh and exploded to take down the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm. So that's why Justin Steele's outing meant less as the night got longer.
Yeah, it meant a lot because May and June were bad too, right? Isn't that the way we're looking at everything?
I think
that's... Just saying, they're in a position where they can't afford to lose a game like that.
Yes, because of what they did in May and June.
Yes.
Because September could still end up being numerically, statistically, a very good month for the
Cubs. What'd you say? I thought it was Craig Timber.
Not this morning.
September.
I thought, honestly, God, my head popped up. I thought we were going to have a fight. I thought that was...
It's certainly not Seiya Timber.
I didn't know if he was talking to you or something.
It's not Seiya Timber. It's not Seiya Timber. Yikes.
Seiya said through an interpreter that was his mistake, that it also changed the momentum of the game. Changed the momentum of the game. You're at the end of the game.
It changed the game.
It lost the game.
It lost the game. Yes.
It changed the momentum.
There now will be two games in successive years in September that you look at Seiya Suzuki, and I don't care what his other numbers are. There will be two games in the midst of a race to the playoffs or a stalled sprint to the playoffs where he is largely responsible for the outcome and the loss. So I don't want to pick on one guy, but I'm picking on one guy, I suppose.
Oh, you're totally picking on one guy.
Is it inappropriate?
Well,
I want him traded in the offseason.
Well, who do you blame more, Jordan Wicks or Seiya Suzuki?
He blames Seiya Suzuki.
I mean, you have your stake to a 2-0 lead, and by the time the next inning's over, you're down.
I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to say Seiya Suzuki because his was a mental error and misjudgment.
Well,
Jordan Wicks just didn't have it.
He said he thought they had forgotten about him.
They didn't.
Nobody thought they weren't paying attention to
him. Well, maybe they were setting him up and baiting him.
He also said he thought he was invisible. I don't know if that was translated.
And typically DHs aren't really, you know, guys you expect to steal bases, right? He's a DH.
Did they say he was invisible?
I made that up.
Did you translate that?
I made that up.
You understand?
I said it was Japanese? I said it was lost in translation.
Dustin, I know. You're right, but...
I was invisible.
DHs these days... The Dodgers DH have 48 stolen bases.
Well, he wouldn't typically be the DH.
I'm just saying.
Right. You're right. He's going to be a 50-50 guy, it looks like, right?
Yes. And then he's going to win the National League MVP, and he's going to face the American League MVP in the World Series in Game 7, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that.
And he's going to come in as a replacement for Michael Kopech and strike out.
For the first time in a long time, right? Like, I think a lot of people are on board with the New York, LA World Series.
Love it. I would love it.
I think it's really attractive.
We had Texas, Arizona last year. Give us Yankees, Dodgers, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
It would be great, and it would be fun, and the Dodgers or the Yankees could win Game 7. 5 days later, the Cubs could trade Seiya.
I wonder, though. I just say Seiya was the forgotten Japanese player in this series.
Seiya later.
Up till last night.
Yeah, I know. I wish we could still talk about that. Mm. I wish we weren't talking about him. Right. I wish we were talking about something else.
I wish we could forget him.
Yes, I know.
Dodger style.
Inexcusable. I'm with Craig Counsell. It was inexcusable. So I'm going with the manager. I side with Craig.
You're riding with the manager.
Shocking. You think I'm pro counsel?
Breaking news on the score is brought to us by BetQL.
Am I pro counsel? Over what? Like, is that obvious?
Are you more pro counsel or more pro Caleb Williams?
Oh, that's a good
Today's
question.
Poll question.
I don't know.
If we did poll questions.
I think maybe more Caleb, but it's close. We all have our things.
Listen, I think the problem with making such designation is that Dustin is so anti-Craig Counsell that you leave no wiggle room for the rest of us. Like, we end up defending Craig Counsell even if we didn't come in to do so because you're so anti-Craig Counsell.
I think it's not 100% accurate.
I
Pretty
think
close.
It's about 98.7%.
It's more than $2 million more a year they're paying a guy that they didn't have to, and I'm still trying to figure that out. He was never going to New York. He wanted to be close to his family, who still have children in high school. He was, the art of negotiation, like, seems to really fall apart.
He wanted to be close to his family, who still have children in high school. Aren't they his children? He wanted to be close to his family, who are his children ever in high school.
Okay, guys, he's here, though.
Okay, rewrite.
He's here. 3-2-1. He's here, and has he had a positive overall impact? The season hasn't gone the way anybody had hoped. Mully's exactly right, though. When we talk about August 18-8, we're going to look back at September, and I think the numbers are going to reflect well on the Cubs' record in relation to their overall record. Mm. Where the plot was lost was May and June. May and June, I don't understand. We'll have to look back at what went wrong.
Because we were taking our time, David. We've got to make sure everybody's ready for Craig Tember in October. So we'll just take the foot off the gas to make sure that everybody's healthy.
Here we go again. Here we go again.
There's the tone. There's the tone.
God.
The Cubs are in better shape overall. The Cubs are The Cubs are better positioned to win a World Series because Craig Counsell is their manager.
Huh?
For the next 4 years.
He was so careful with Justin Steele that he's had two stints on the injured list.
I'm not putting Justin Steele's injury on Craig Counsell.
The problem is that you know, Dustin wishes that Grandpa Rossi were here so we could watch an October meltdown and then them fall apart after having won earlier in the year.
You'd have to get to October.
But he prefers them to lose late than to lose early. That's what you're basically telling us. You don't like the style of the manager because he isn't willing to burn out his team late because he doesn't want to burn them out early.
Remind me what Craig Counsell has done in the postseason.
Remind me what happened last year and why David Ross isn't here.
Well,
he's not here because Craig Counsell was available. That's why he's not here. Otherwise, he would have been back. There was total support from Ricketts and Jed Hoyer when that season ended.
Mm-hmm.
It was only until Craig Counsell became available.
Yes, you're right.
That they made that move.
Jed Hoyer's idea. Do you think that's part of the friction? You do think that's part of the friction.
I do believe that's part of the friction.
I don't agree with that. But I respect where you're coming from because I don't think you're alone there. I don't think you're alone. There's a school of thought that until the Cubs address it, I think it will exist that Tom Ricketts was more of a guy who wanted to keep.
What you just said, by your own words, you just said that David Ross would be here, only there was an upgrade available. And so
according
they took the
to, I didn't say it was an
that's
upgrade.
What the, that's what
they,
you said.
Yes,
if he wasn't
Cubs,
available,
the,
then
the Cubs said it was an upgrade. I didn't say it was an upgrade.
Okay.
I just want to make that clear.
Gotcha.
Jed thinks it's an upgrade.
And overpaid
by $2 million.
Mm-hmm.